had a good week so far, and I hope you continue to have a good one the rest of this week. So, to get things started, we're going to stand up and sing number 53, In His Time. So stand and sing with me.
And turn to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, that's kind of going to be our kickoff verse. For the next few lessons, we're going to be doing the statement, Thomas Village Baptist Church statement of faith, basically the doctrine of our church and what we believe. And probably been some things added to it because of society's further drifting away from the Lord than the last time that you went through it. But before we go into it tonight, it is good to see all of you. Thankful you've made the effort to come out. I pray that your week has been blessed and that God has favored you. Before we go into our time of prayer, I do want to remind you of some things that's coming up. Don't forget the 25th and the 26th, our marriage conference. Be praying for that, and praying for specifically for Brother Matt and Sister Holly as they're getting prepared to lead us in it. They'll be doing one at their church this Saturday, Wallace Memorial, and then they'll have a week off, and then they'll be doing ours the week of the 24th and the 25th and 26th, excuse me. And then also the men's conference at Liberty, the at night conference, is March the 11th through the 12th, and we're just kind of trying to see if there's any men that would like to go. We'll have a sign-up sheet back there and give you some more information on that. Do be praying for that. And then just a special prayer need tonight, and that is the Daniels family. If you know anything that's going on with Sister Melissa, Sister Kim, Miss Wilma, you know, a few weeks ago, well, it was Monday week, Brother Don was life flighted from Stickleyville to Holston Valley and had a heart attack and a stroke. And then Brother Frank called me Monday, and they found Jeff in the basement, passed away at his mama's, at their mama's house. So it's just been one thing after another there. And, you know, it gets like that for us all at times where it feels like there's a snowball going. But I want to tell you, it was October the 25th that we committed, basically, that we were going to have a marriage conference. And ever since then, it seems like there has been something. The devil does not like it when you try to strengthen marriages. And because that's the fundamental building block of, a stable society, and two, a Christian society. And so we want to pray for them. But is there any other words of praise and testimony tonight before we go any further? Praise the Lord, God is good, and there has been blue skies for 2 days. Hallelujah. Yes, ma'am.
My entire family, my children, my grandchildren, my mother's 96. She fell into the red and ended up in the hospital 3 times.
Mm.
But guess what? She's fine. The Lord is good. He's taking care of a lot.
Mm-hmm. I know this might sound crazy, but it's kind of a relief when you've had it. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, whew.
Yeah,
Amen. That's exactly right. I'm part of the herd, is what I am. Any other? Or thank you, sister. Good to see you. Anybody else got a word of praise or testimony tonight? Amen. Amen. I was surprised at how fast they did it. I was expecting it to go on into the afternoon or midday at least. But God is good. Keep. Amen. It's always long enough, ain't it? Amen. Anybody else? Word of praise or testimony?
She's 58.
My goodness.
I know that.
Yeah, that's the way it is with our family. We do have a little bit of a study guide tonight. We're going on a little bit deeper. If you weren't here Sunday night, we do have those where we started the study on what we believe, and then we'll be providing something each time we study. But also we have the Baptist quick reference, Baptist Faith and Message up here, if you'd like one of those as well. But as we go into prayer needs tonight, we do want to continue to pray for those that do have COVID. Brother David Chesner and Sister Renee that come, he was diagnosed with it either yesterday or today. So we want to continue to pray for him. Sister Lynn and Brother Otis, want to pray for them. Brother Ken, as Lord willing, today's his final day in quarantine. Continue to pray, as I mentioned, the Daniels family. Brother Don is still in the hospice care, and be praying for Brother Frank. He'll be leading the service tomorrow evening. It's at Sturgill over in Lee County. A visitation for Jeff will be from 5 to 7, and then there'll be a service following with Brother Frank. But the deacons are growing, and God's calling them to different places and different roles. And with that comes the stepping out on faith, living by faith. So. Then Amy, my Amy has her surgery scheduled for next Tuesday, the 15th. This is the third time it's been scheduled. And she says if they don't cut on her this time, they ain't going to cut on her. She's not going to let them. So just pray that everything goes. But you remember, it worked out wonderfully last time that her surgery was canceled on a Monday, and then Maddie had to have the surgery on Friday. So God knows what he's doing. And then Sister Yvonne, she's got a doctor's appointment tomorrow. We're praying for good reports there that she have healing, total and complete healing. Sister Rowena got her. She's got to kind of take it easy for the next few days. I want to continue to pray for her. Then Ricky Sheffield, that's the friend of ours in Georgia that's battling cancer. And last I heard, he was still up in Atlanta. And they were trying to find where he was losing the blood from. So continue to pray there. Brittany Grindstaff, Cody Carlton, Shalene Harris, Hazel Dingus, Jimmy Taylor, Brother Jasper and Sister Pam, Kim and Dale Owens, Daniel Green, Candy Worth, Deborah Taylor, Jewel Williams, Shirley and Danny Roten, this is Sherry and Brother Danny. We'll continue to pray for them. David Starnes, Nick Patrick, Mary Snodgrass, Frank Pennington Sr. and Miss Cecilia, Hoyt and Phyllis Bledsoe, Liza Fletcher, Ruth Roten, Helen Bowen, Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Chelsea LeBlanc, John and Carmine Shoup, Jerry Flannery, Rhonda Bryce, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, Darlene Porter, Carol Dishner, Haley Webb, David and Felicia Cantrell, Judy Webb, Robbie Jordan, Tyler and Donna Hodge, Dakota McQueen, Nick Roden, Daisy Richards, Bradley Bowen, Eddie and Chris Barnett, Ezekiel Jordan, Vicki Littrell, Carol Carter, Paul and Thomas Stoyer, Laura Evans and family, JT and Gladys Jones, Shannon Haynes, C. Edmonds, Charlene Lofton, Denny Lemon, Cindy Osborne, Gail Stidham, Charlotte Bishop, Daryl Hurd, Junior Wade, Junior Stidham, Roger and Virginia Eden, Bridget Barnes, Susie Hill, Teresa Holden, Betty McCorkle, Helen Garrett, Heather Markham, Kevin Tigner, Buddy McNutt, Steve Smith, Jason Knight, Jesse Bull, Pam Savarsky, Margaret Williams, CC family, Larry Bledsoe, Ashley Clark, Debbie Starnes, Terry Beeler, Brandon Johnson, Randy Meeks, Braden, this is, I didn't get the last name, but it's a young boy, and they think he may have liver cancer. Chuck Kearney, Penny Horton, Kathy Smith, Mike Brown, Larry Tomlinson, Rhonda Doran, Mickey Gillum, Dr. Awan, Miranda Caldwell, Sherry Dean Cooper, Kathy Baldwin, Aiden Jurgen, Betty Carter, Lisa Estep, Ivan Scotton family, the Stenicky family, Charlie Taylor, Karen McDavid, Michael Starnes, Susan Lassiter, Wilma Williams, the Gillette family, Mary Snodgrass, Melanie Lester and family, Brother Tommy Mullins, Jeanette Carter, Ashlyn, this is a friend from Georgia, concerned for leukemia, Sister Phyllis, John Bryce, and J.D. Nielsen, and that's over 130 names, not including and family. And each of these are basically physical issues that they're dealing with, some type of situation in their life, or maybe it's a home that isn't what it needs to be, and they're battling the situation there. And then on our other prayer list, on our lost prayer list, we have over 250 on it. And so there are many, many prayer needs tonight. Do we have any others that we need to put on the prayer list? We'll remember him. Thank you, sister. Anyone else? Yes, brother.
My oldest brother, cancer.
What's his name again, brother?
John.
John.
Have they?
Well, we'll keep praying to the great physician, and that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we could think or ask. And remember, as we pray for these healings, there's nothing wrong for us to pray because that's what we desire. But let our hearts be that, God, you receive glory in this, that you bring this healing in a way that the world may know that there is a God that's able to bring healing. I pray for our nation. I tell you what, I try not to get too political, but, buddy, we can't go three more years like this. I mean, I was talking with Brad yesterday at the hardware store. And you know the metal boxes that you use to frame in your electrical, nailing to your studs when you're building a house? 18 months back order for metal box. And then can you imagine what they're going to cost when they get there? I mean, it's just, it's crazy times, crazy times. But hallelujah. It's closer to the Lord's return. Anyone else tonight? Yes, sir. I believe that Lord Terry's that what's on the other side of this life begins to look a whole lot more appealing than where we're at on this side. We'll be ready one day to get on that next boat ride. We'll be ready to cross on over. Sister? Especially at an early age like that when you're getting hit by those bombs, you know. But praise God, if you've not been reminded today, nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you let him, he'll do even greater things. I mean that the creator of all the universe, when you wake up in the morning and you're reminded that the creator of all the universe is not only mindful of who I am and where I'm at, but he is always at work. There is not a minute in my day that the Lord is not working in my life and in my family's life somehow, some way. And that right there, if nothing else, will give you a little bit of hope on the inside. Anyone else tonight?
Moselle.
Yeah, Moselle. Anyone else? All right, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. The altar is open, and if you do have any prayer needs, I think there's a place for you to write them down outside. But also, if you've got unspoken tonight, raise your hand, and if you've got a loved one you want to see saved, raise your hand. Amen. We need to be praying for souls. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you and I praise you for this day. And God, I'm thankful that you do hear our prayers. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and my failures, my pride, my arrogancy, Heavenly Father, Lord, my lack of not doing what I know to do at times, Heavenly Father, Lord. But God, I'm thankful that you have saved me by your blood, by your grace, by your mercy. And it's not about what I do. It's you hold on to me tonight. My eternity is in your hands, and it's just as secure as even more secure than the reality of this pulpit here. And so, God, I praise you for that. And as I've just wrote down the names today, Heavenly Father, Lord, being reminded that so many people are facing the issues of physical life, whether it be physical sickness, whether it be relationship issues, Heavenly Father, Lord, whether it be broken spirit through depression or different types of chemical imbalances and things like that. God, there are so many trials and storms that we can get caught up in, but God, let us always be reminded that you have those trials for a purpose. We thank you tonight as we consider Sister Rowena, that she has come through the procedure, and we just pray you continue to heal up there. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do think of the Daniel's family tonight as we consider and pray for Brother Don. We pray for Sister Wilma, Sister Kim, Sister Melissa, Heavenly Father, Lord, and the rest of the family there. And I pray for Brother Frank as he gets prepared to share your message tomorrow night, God, that you just give him the words to speak and let those words be anointed by the Holy Spirit, and that a life may be changed for the glory of the Lord. And God, I praise you, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you are tonight, Lord, saving souls. And we come before you, and we do pray for all these physical needs as we think of Mr. John tonight and the issues with the cancer, how the world has and the doctors may have wrote him off, but Lord, you have not, and you're able. And we just pray, God, that you just give him peace in the midst of this time. And there's so many others that are like him, Heavenly Father, Lord. And so, God, we lift them up to you as well. But Lord, in Jesus' name, we know that none come unless they're called by the Father. And so tonight, God, I just pray you rebuke and remove any demonic spirit that would be fighting against the Word of God going forth. I pray, Lord, that it be in the power of the Holy Spirit and that lives will be changed through it, whether it be through the night's message, maybe a song they've heard or a scripture they learned as a child. God, that you'll take the Word of God and bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. God, I ask you to take tonight's lesson. Lord, give us the ears to hear it, the heart to receive it, and then the power to live it. And we give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Like I said, Brother John, would you mind helping me hand out some of these papers tonight? Tonight, we're going to be covering humanity, and we're going to get into salvation. There's going to be three other points that come with salvation, so I didn't want to get into too many. But as they're handing out, if you want a copy of Sunday night's lesson, the first study, I'm going to have these when we go into. So if you get behind, just let me know. And if you want to wait till the end, God willing, we'll have it to where we can give you just a whole copy of what we believe. It may not have the reference scriptures as the studies are going to have. It will have them where you can look them up yourself. But we just won't be putting them in the study, trying to save some paper and things like that. But we're going to be in the book of 2 Peter tonight. And this is going to sound very familiar to you. And basically, this is going to be our kickoff scripture for every one of these statement of faith studies, because it brings us back to the basis of what we believe. And, you know, if we go by feeling, if we go by tradition, then we know that the basis of it is human emotion, human preference. And so that's why it's important that we begin here in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 16, and we'll read all the way through verse 21. It says, "For we did not follow cleverly contrived myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to Him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is My beloved Son, whom with I am well pleased.' And we ourselves heard the voice when it came from heaven while we were with Him on the holy mount. We also have the prophetic word strongly confirmed, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you know this: no prophecy of Scripture comes from the prophet's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by the will of man. Instead, men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." And may God add the blessings to the reading of His Word. But what we see is that everything that we believe as an individual, I pray that this is your truth, that everything I believe about who God is, the way that God wants me to live, is based on the Word of God. Because here's the thing, there's some days that my emotional state and the way that I feel and some of the things that I've gone through, they're going to align with the Word of God. And that's when you have it. But there's going to be other days where what I feel, what I think, and what I've been through is going to seem to contradict the Word of God. And so in those times, I pray that you've already made the commitment because of your faith in Christ Jesus that I'm not going to go by what I feel, but I'm going to stand firmly on the Word of God. And that's why we begin our statement of faith by saying we believe the Word of God. We, Thomas Village Baptist Church, I didn't write that one down, but I've got it up here. But basically, if you remember when we did our study a few years ago on why I believe the Bible, God let me cross a statement by Vody Bachman, and it says something like this: "We choose to believe the Bible because it is a reliable collection of historical documents written down by eyewitnesses during the time of other eyewitnesses." If you notice what we read tonight by Peter, he said, "I was there. I saw what Jesus did. I saw how He lived His life. But also, I heard the voice of God speak the Father and say, 'This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.'" So basically, in the Old and in the New Testament, we have either eyewitnesses or the recorded documentation of eyewitnesses, and that they reported supernatural events that took place as a fulfillment of specific prophecies and claim that their writings are divine in origin rather than human. And so that's our belief. We don't just come about this. Yes, it takes faith. Yes, we're to live by faith. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. But also, the Lord wants us to be reasonable and rational as well. And if God put so much time into creating this earth, creating us in His image, breathing into us the breath of life, then certainly He will also show us the way in which we're to interact with Him, we're to be restored to Him, and how we're to live a life that is pleasing to Him. So we begin what we believe based on the truth of God's Word. We don't need any other books. We don't need anybody else to add to or take away. We have the whole of God's counsel here in Scripture. When it says in Revelations that we're not to add to or take away, I do recognize that they're specifically talking about the book of Revelation, but also the truth goes for the whole of the Bible. You remember Jesus said not one jot or one tittle will pass away. We don't need any books like the Book of Mormon or any of the ones that you find in the Catholic translation. They have a few more books. Are they good to read? Yes, they're good. It helps you have a more full and complete view of what others believe, and also it helps us to understand biblical times a little bit better. But we don't need any more than we have in the 66 books that has been given to us. So then the next thing that we talked about was what we believe about God. We, Thomas Village Baptist Church, believe that there is one and only one true God. He is an intellectual, spiritual, and personal being. He is holy and perfect as creator, redeemer, preserver, and ruler of the universe. To him, all of humanity owes supreme love, reverence, and obedience. How many of America, you reckon, tonight believe that God deserves our supreme reverence and obedience? Huh? These are things that's not talked about much, but it makes a big difference on what we believe and our worldview. Our worldview should be based on how we view Scripture and what it does. But it goes on to say, as one eternal deity, he has revealed himself to humanity in three distinct persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, which is known as the Trinity, one essence with three persons. Now, while the Trinity is not stated in Scripture, just like the millennial reign is not stated in Scripture, but the truth of both are taught in the Word of God. And the Trinity, we see it all the way from the book of Genesis to the end of Scripture. And so then we break it down and we break it down into the three aspects of who God is. Well, there is God the Father. We believe that God the Father governs with favor, kindness, and grace over all creation. He reigns with providential care over his universe, his creatures, and the flow of human history to fulfill his purpose. God's got a plan, and every good guy, bad guy, great situation, bad situation, none of it takes him by surprise, and he's laid everything out that in the end is going to fulfill his purpose that he's planned. He is omniscient, meaning that he knows all things. He is omnipotent, meaning he is all-powerful. He is omnipresent, meaning that God is everywhere. The writer of Psalms said there, basically in redneck, there ain't nowhere I can go that he don't see me. He always views us. He always sees us. And then another one as I was studying this week, he is omnibenevolent, meaning that he is all or supremely good. There is nothing about him that is bad or is incomplete or is sinful. And God is the Father in truth to, he's God the Father to all creation because he spoke something where there was nothing. Ex nihilo. He didn't have to borrow from someone else. He spoke the material on the job site and then he took the material and formed it up what he created. But he is also Father in spiritual truth to all of those that come through the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And then there is God the Son, Jesus Christ. We believe that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. He has always been and always will be. He is active in creation. He was active during the Old Testament in love and obedience. In the New Testament, Jesus embodied himself in human flesh, being conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of a virgin. As the God-man, Jesus revealed the perfect will and the perfect truth of God. Jesus took upon himself the demands and needs for all of humanity. He fulfilled all the requirements of the law and is the only perfect human. Being sinless and perfect, he gave his life on the cross as mankind's substitution in death, in the death penalty that every human being deserves for our rebellion, our sin, and our rejection of our Creator. Jesus died on a criminal's cross. He was judged by God, and he was placed in a borrowed tomb. On the third day, he rose in physical form, thus providing a way for humanity to be forgiven for sin, reconciled with God the Father, and given eternity spent with God. Jesus returned to his throne at the Father's right hand. He is man's mediator. He is fully God, fully man, and he will return to judge all creation, to revive his children, and to place all creation under his reign as King of Kings
and as Lord of Lords. At this time, he will dwell with believers as an ever-loving, living, and present Lord and Savior. Now, there's the rapture to come before that. There is the millennial reign that comes before that. The nations will rise up against him when he is ruling and reigning in Jerusalem on the throne. And there will not be any bombs thrown. There will not, on his part, there won't be. He will speak. The Bible says he will defeat them with the breath and the sword of his mouth. He will speak a word, and more power will be in that. Whatever he speaks at that time, there'll be more power in that than if you took the bombs that they dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki and multiplied them hundreds of times. There'll be more power in the Word of God than there are in a nuclear explosion. Isn't that awesome that our Lord has that power? And that shouldn't surprise us, because he did speak something into nothing. And if he has the power to do that, then praise God, his word has the power to do whatever. That's one reason why it's good to know Scripture, because you pray Scripture as well. And when you pray the word of God, and his word will not return void. Me and Brother Keith talk about it. You know, the old timers, they used to have Scripture that if somebody was bleeding or they had a loss of blood, they had specific Scripture that they would pray to staunch or to dry up that blood flow, just like the woman that came to Jesus with the issue of blood. They believed in the prayer. And then there is God the Holy Spirit. We, Thomas Village, believe that the third person of the Trinity is the Holy Spirit. He is fully divine, Spirit of God. One of his key works is interacting with humanity in the inspiration of the Holy Scriptures, the Bible. All Scripture is from the voice of God and inspired in specific men as the Holy Spirit led them. The Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, calls for humanity's repentance. It declares the righteousness of God. And he judges or declares and warns of the judgment of God. If you read over in the book of John chapter 16, Jesus specifically declares what the role of the Holy Spirit is to be in the new covenant. At the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit brings regeneration into the believer, a new life, and dwells in each believer. He also baptizes, or he immerses each believer into the body of Christ, or the universal church, because that's who Christ Jesus died for, is for the church, and he's coming back as the groom receiving his bride. There, he also dwells within each believer as a guarantee of the believer's resurrection. We will be revived by God when the time comes. The Holy Spirit provides gifts and talents to all true believers that are to be used in union, not with the church universal, but with the local church. Matter of fact, when you read in Scripture, there is more focus on the local church and how that we as believers are to be tied into the local church than there is the idea of being the universal, tied in with the universal church. While believers remain in this physical life, the Holy Spirit guides us in what is right in the eyes of God, while empowering us to live a life that is pleasing unto God. Remember in Philippians chapter 3, it tells us that not only does God give us the desire to live for him, but he also gives us the power to accomplish his will, to accomplish what he wants for our life. And then if you still have your notes, and I might have put it in tonight's, but we use the image of the triangle for the Trinity. In the triangle, we see that we have one shape. I mean, it is one individual shape. You wouldn't say that there's three corners here that make up one shape. No, you would simply say that's a triangle. But as we look at that triangle, there are three individual and specific corners. If you take away one of those corners, you no longer have a triangle. But each one of them play their specific role, and that's the way it is with the Trinity. You have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. While we are limited in our physical being, we're one essence and one being in one body. Christ, the Heavenly Father, He is not bound by the laws of nature or what we know. And so this is one of those that sometimes you can take and you have no problem believing, and then other times your human brain gets in there and tries to rattle you around a little bit and you have to back up off of it. But the Trinity, the reality of the Trinity, is very important to us as a doctrinal basis, because, like I said, there are some, I said this Sunday night, there are some that believe in the idea of modalism, which is that there's one God who displays Himself in three different ways, whereas sometimes He'll show Himself as the Father, and then the other times He may show Himself as the Son, but when He's the Son, He can't be the Father and He can't be the Spirit. You see, that's the way that it's trying to explain it, that it makes sense in man's head. But again, it doesn't have to make sense in my head for it to be a reality. Amen. I don't know how He saves. I have no idea how He actually does the saving part. But I know this, I don't want to give it back, and I don't want Him to take it back. Amen. Whatever way He sees fit to do it, hallelujah. And so tonight we're going to begin to do our study and move on into humanity. What do we believe about human beings? And so we, Thomas Village Baptist Church, believe that human beings as a species, or mankind, is a unique and special creation of God. There is no other created being that is on the same level in their relationship or in the purpose for which God created them. Man was created not only in the image of God, but if you go back to the book of Genesis, man was created to be the representation or the ambassador of God within creation. I mean, God put him there, and you remember what He told Adam? He told him, He says, I want you to subdue all of creation. I want you to rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and every creature that crawls and climbs and all that. And remember, He allowed Adam to name them. So Adam, the first human being, was the representative of God within all of nature, all of creation. He made Adam into a living soul with His breath. He breathed the breath of life. And think about this. Every other being, every other species, yes, they have the breath of life in them, but they do not have the eternal breath of God. Once we take our first breath, there will never be a time that our soul does not exist. You understand that? Our bodies may not, but we will live on through all of eternity, either in heaven or in hell. Why is that? Because made in His image, He breathed into us an eternal breath. Now, we will experience the second death with His death, hell, and the separation from God. But you'll be alive. I mean, your soul will know what's going on. Just like the rich man, when the Bible says he exited this world and he opened up his eyes immediately in torment. When he was made, when Adam was made into a living creature, or Adam and Eve were created in innocence, without sin, in a perfect world with a whole relationship with God. If you remember, it says over in Genesis chapter 3, I believe it is, that of the cool of the day, Adam would walk with the Lord. They had that type of relationship. However, after some time, Adam and Eve fell to the temptation of Satan. This resulted in their loss of innocence, a fall from grace, and a fall in the relationship with God. There was a spiritual death in the moment, and the physical, a promise of physical death, alongside the curse on all of creation. Adam's fall also resulted in his descendants, every man, woman, boy, and girl that would come along after that. The human race inherited the sin nature along with the curse, like we talked about Sunday night. You don't have to tell a child how to lie or to cover up for their wrongdoing. They know how to do it. I mean, you ask who wrote on the wall, and they're the only one in the house, and they'll say, I don't know, but it wasn't me. I mean, where does that come from? That is innate. That's a part of the fallen curse that we live under. Each human is accountable for their actions, the breaking of God's law, and the rebellion as his creation. And the Bible teaches us, John chapter 3, verse 18, that we all are condemned. Only the grace of God in Christ Jesus can unite the individual in a proper relationship with God, the Creator, providing eternal salvation for all who believe. Now, Genesis 1, 27 and 28. So God created man in his image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and rule over everything. Now, I'd say that if you're like me, above the age of 40, you probably thought that there would never have to be a specific addition to what we believe when it comes to the gender roles of society, right? But yet we live in a day, and again, this is the attack on the home. This is a basic attack on the home. And in America, they're trying to wipe out everything that resembles anything that looks like biblical accuracy. Basically, this is where, as God assigned gender roles at birth, it is another way by which he reveals more of his own nature in distinct roles. You remember when Adam was created, and God said it's not good for man to be alone. And so what did he do? He took out of Adam and created a whole other being. And what you see there is that in different ways, God reveals himself in the role and the responsibility of the man and the way that we're to serve and the provider and the idea that who God's made the man to be. We see more of who God should be. And the same is true in the role of the female, that we see more about God in that. And so there is no need for any human to define or redefine what God has blessed each human with at the moment of conception. Now, I know that there are some genetic issues and all that, but you know that makes up less than like 2 or 3% of all the population. It may be even less than that. God has clearly defined, and he is clear. And this is what gets me. We live in a state and in a time where they talk about what goes on and rights of women and others in other countries where they may be held down by Sharia law and stuff like that, and how damnable the things they do to them. But we live in a time where the attorney generals are trying to make it legal where a 10 to 12 year old child can make the choice to start having hormone blockers without the permission of their parents or the guardians that's over them. I'm telling you, what's the difference? Almost 85% of those that deal with gender issues at an early age, by the time they get 19 or 20, they'll be worked their way through it. But we're living in a time where we've got to be able to stand. What does the Bible say? He made them male and female in his image. Neither one is less than the other. And each one of them is a gift from God, whether it be male or female. Our gender, male and female, are clear declarations of our Creator's love for us, along with what with his clear roles and responsibilities as male and female. All right, so any thoughts about the gender issue and what we believe as a church? Now, let me say this. If anybody wants to come in here and sit under the teaching, they are more than welcome to come and sit under this teaching. And we need to do our best to love them, because sin is sin is sin. And just because one of them don't make us gag and the other one makes us gag, that's our own personal issues. We are to love the sinner and hate the sin. And we need God to teach us how to do that. Now, there's a difference from coming to church, listening to the preaching, and joining the church and holding a position in the church. Now, we might have some, we are going to have some issues with that. But I'm telling you, we've got to stand on these truths. Let me ask you this. The Bible says that we have been created in the image of God. If you believe that, say amen. Okay? In what ways have we been made in his image? there's the clear evidence of the Trinity in our creation. God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We, even though we are one essence, one body, one soul, we're still, we have the nature of our spiritual being, we have the nature of our physical being, and we have the nature of our emotional or our intellectual being. We have three different states. And you know what? We're going to have those things through eternity, because we're going to get a new body. We're going to have a physical body. We'll still be a spiritual being as well, but we'll also have an intellect that is perfect and is in line with God's will, as we try to do here, where we renew our mind on a daily basis. Then there's the idea of the fall. And see, this is important because this is where everything builds off of. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 and following. And he said to Adam, listen to this, because you listened to your wife's voice and ate from the tree about which I commanded you do not to eat from, the ground is cursed because of you. You know what he said? You chose to listen to man's or human's reasoning above my commands. And I promise you, when we get in trouble as an individual, when we fall away from the Lord, when we sin, as we see our nation falling away, it boils down to that we are choosing to live by man's words, man's thoughts, instead of the truth and the law of God. It says, he goes on and says, I will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. You will eat bread by the sweat of your brow until you return to the ground. Since you are taken from it, for you are dust, and you will return to dust. So again, we see the idea that we're nothing but mud and dirt. And that's what Jesus put on himself to come and save us. He did that. But can you tell me two ways in which the promise of a Savior is seen in the creation story? Where is it at? You remember? Yes, we see the truth. Remember, it tells us in Hebrews that almost everything is purged by blood. That is the first time we see that there had to be a sacrifice of a life so that the sin of humanity could be covered. You remember, I think it's there in chapter 3, verse 20. You see where God takes the animal. He kills the animal. So we know there was blood, and he skins the animal so that we know there was blood shed. And he took the skins from the animal, and he covered Adam and Eve's nakedness with it. There's another one. Do you remember what it said about the descendants of Adam and Eve? Remember, there was going to come one that would do what to the serpent? He would crush his head, and the serpent would bruise his heel. And the idea, I don't want to get either one, but if it come down to a crushed head or a bruised heel, I do believe I'd take the bruised heel all day long. But see, a crushed head is a mortal wound. It's over. If your head's crushed, you're going to die. Bruised heel, it might cause you a little bit of problem for a little while, and that's what Jesus did. Praise God, it might have kept him in the grave for 3 days, but overall, he come through as victor there. All right, any thoughts on the fall? I was talking to Sister Lexi the other night, and the thing about making the Word of God your baseline, this is your truth, is it's like math. Math does not change. Now, they try to teach it to you in a different way than what I learned it back in the day, but 2 + 2 is always going to be 4. You cannot change that. And that's where the basis of our monetary system and all that comes, is because of the reality of that truth. And that's the way the Word of God is. It does not change. No matter what's going on around us, we can come back to this foundation. We can come back to this truth. Okay, and then we see not only did it pass from Adam, or did Adam and Eve get the curse, but we see humanity's curse. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 45 and following, it says, so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, and the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Now, the last Adam is who? Jesus. Jesus is the second Adam, the last Adam. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth and made of dust. The second man is from heaven. Like the man made of dust, so are those who are made of dust. And like the heavenly man, so are those who are heavenly. And just as we have borne the image of the man made of dust, we will also bear the image of the heavenly man. So we see that, yes, all humanity, Jew, Gentile, whatever, we're sick, we're ill from the same sickness. It's sin sickness. And we like to sin. I mean, our bodies enjoy it. But thank God, if we all have the same sickness, then we all can be provided the same cure, which is Christ Jesus. Any thoughts on the fall? And that we today, that we're just as guilty as Adam and Eve were when they sinned. Let me ask you this. How long do you think it was? And this don't, I mean, we ain't got no answer to this. How long do you think it was before Adam and Eve were created and then when they finally fell? You think it was the day after? Or the day after that, the day after that? Here's what we know. We know that the enemy is slick. And he'll watch and he'll figure out and he'll learn where our weaknesses are. And then he'll throw the... I think it could have been years. It could have been hundreds of years. I mean, we don't know. We don't know. But finally, the devil doesn't give up. He mean he kept at it. And we can learn from that he's going to find where our weaknesses are. And let me ask you this today. We're talking about marriage, right? Isn't the devil still using the same attack that he used in the garden as he is today? How many spouses will go along to get along instead of standing on the Word of God? Right? I mean, we do. That's just, as a man, I want the path of least resistance, buddy. I mean, whatever streamlines it, that's what I'm choosing if I can. And basically, that's what we seen Adam do. Okay, baby, give me a bite. Let's make an apple pie. Whatever we need to do to keep Mama happy. It wasn't an apple, by the way. We don't know what kind of fruit. A lot of people think it might have been a what's that P word? Pomegranate. Yeah, a lot of, you know, they call it passion fruit or something like that. But pomegranate, nasty. It's got them little seeds in that thing. Huh? A pomegranate. You must, huh? No, I've ate them. Y'all ever peeled one? It's got that, they look like little bath beads inside of them, ain't it? Don't they look like bath beads? That's what they look like, bath beads. And they sour as all get out. They nasty. Huh? Could have been a persimmon. Who knows? That's exactly right. I think it was awful bitter. It was. It'll blow your mind, won't it? Mm-hmm. Amen. There is so much within those, like I said, of the first 11 chapters, that when we brought in the idea of evolution and all that, all the truth of God's relationship with man, the importance of husband and wife, the gender roles, all of that began to erode when we throwed away the creation account. If we never had moved away from that, we wouldn't be experiencing a lot of the things that we're experiencing today. But because we did that, that's what we're dealing with. Here's another one that you probably wouldn't have thought that we have to deal with, but we have to define what we believe about life. We, Thomas Village Baptist Church, believe that each and every human life is a gift breathed by God Himself. Seeing this is true, then every life should be valued from the time of conception, and that's Jeremiah, before I knew you, I called you, and then up until the natural point of death, and for those that are physically weak or many handicapped. It is our duty to defend and protect life at every stage. And then, so we see that God, before we were ever conceived, God is aware of us. The Bible says that our members are written in His book, our days are written in His book. But now, I'm going to tell you what, we're living in a strange time. You know, I think I wrote this down. Technology has brought about hard choices when it comes to the end of life care. Because you can keep a body going on and on and on and on, right? And basically, there comes a point in time where you have to say, God, I'm taking them off, whatever it is. And if it's your will for them to continue, then they continue. If not, you take them out. Because had we not got to this point, many would have done been passed on. And I'm not saying that there's some amazing things. There are. And God performs miracles. But sometimes I do believe that we hold on to people. If we truly believe that their eternity is going to be better, why don't we let them go? See, what we cry about is what we're going to miss. What breaks our heart is what we're going to miss. But praise God, I'm going to tell you this. They get in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's going to take a millennial before they even start thinking about who they left behind, because they're in the glory of the one who died for them. But then you also have the other flip of the coin, and that is the dignity in death type people. You know what I'm talking about there? That a person ought to have to write to choose when they die, how they die, things like that. The Bible says we didn't give life, and thus we have no authority to take life. We're living in strange times. I'm fearful that we're going to get to a place in America to where if you cannot benefit society, meaning if you ain't putting no money in, they sure ain't going to put no money out to take care of you. And I think that's coming. I think that is the natural result of not valuing life from conception. If you don't value it before it enters, then if it has no benefit, then why are you going to value it then? It does. Hey, I'm going to tell you, they are professing Southern Baptists that say life is not life until it takes a breath, because that's what we see God do in Genesis. Adam and Eve wasn't alive until He breathed the breath of life into them, which they define as oxygen. And so a baby isn't a viable until it takes its first, until its lungs fill up with air for the first time. You can talk yourself into anything. I mean, that's the sad thing about a lot of people say, yeah, we base ours on the Bible too. Yeah, but you don't interpret it the same way that you got a private interpretation. And it said there ain't no private interpretation there. Any other thoughts about humanity or life? Oh, my gosh. Don't go there, Brother Paul. Mm-hmm. No. And y'all know me. I love an animal. But I turn them commercials. I do. Some of them dogs is living pretty good in there. They got them a good place to, I mean, what do they think we're supposed to do? Give them insulated houses and all that stuff? I mean, they got a place to go in if it's snowing. Amen. All right, we've already about past time, so I'm going to hold off on salvation. But what'd I say? On the study of salvation. On the study of salvation. But what we're going to do is the idea, one of the reasons that I think we ought to value life and fight for life is because as long as there is life in someone's lung, the breath in their lung, there is still hope of salvation there. You know what I mean? There is the hope that they will
come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, if you, the one thing that I would like us to, and I want you to think about this, is that as Bible Belt Christians, we don't think about the definition of the term saved or salvation. But to a lot of people, and it's growing more and more this way, that the idea of saved and salvation, they really don't have any idea of what that means, and it really holds no role in their life. And so what I did is, when we talk about salvation, when we talk about being saved, what it is redemption. That Christ Jesus, by the sacrifice and substitutionary death, He purchased us back. And so on that last page, on page 4, there's a definition from the, or a view from the Old Testament and a view from the New Testament, and then basically what it means in the spiritual realm there, okay? But these are things, and again, I challenge you, write your own statement of faith. Let it, I mean, like I said, ours is going to be very close, some would say lockstep, with the Baptist Faith and Message. Well, that's good because we give them a lot of money, okay? And so we don't want to be giving somebody we don't believe the same way. But me and my daddy, I mean, he is, if I got a spiritual role model, he's my spiritual role model. But we don't see 100% on everything together. He's King James only, buddy. I think he's about disowned me. I think he's got over it since I've moved away from it. But we're not going to see everything as we do with one another. We're not going to be 100%. But not everything is a reason to separate. Well, I mean, some of it, like salvation, who knows how he does it? I mean, is it while I'm praying, dear Lord Jesus, forgive me? Or is it after I say amen that he actually brings salvation into my life? I believe it's immediate. I believe it's in the moment. Can I prove that? No. Again, but I don't want him to take it back. Any other thoughts on our lesson tonight? Okie dokie. Any words of testimony or praise? Or maybe you forgot a prayer request. We'll write that down. All right, Brother Keith, you mind come closing us out in a word of prayer? And don't forget, be bathing. Yes, ma'am.
I do have one prayer request.
Okay.
You know that I work in school.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's a part of that darkness that's sweeping our country right now, you know.
What they're saying is that the Bible was rewritten by man.
Yeah.
And it's in the religion, you know, they're putting their own laws
trying to find the Bible. Amen. And
but,
Amen. I can't say that because I don't want to get her in trouble. I know this lady that she'll give out a Bible and she'll pray with her students. And I just tell her, keep going and do what you do, whoever that lady is.
Let's pray.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, dear God, for another opportunity to be in your house, to hear your word taught, Lord. I just pray, dear God, that each and every request here tonight, Lord, would be met. Pray for our sister, Lord, that you would give her the knowledge and the wisdom to know what to say and when to say it. Lord, go with us as we go to our houses, Lord, tonight, to place you watch over and care for us and keep us safe. For these things we ask in your precious holy name. Amen.